The word's good.
Amen.
Amen. Are you hungry for the word?
Amen.
If you're not, just get hungry, right? Praise the Lord. Just get hungry. You know, sometimes I'm not hungry, but when something good's put in front of me or something smells nice, I'm all of a sudden hungry. It doesn't take me long to get hungry. Praise the Lord. And the word is so good. You know, I was thinking during that song, you know, gave it all for us. You know, he came from heaven. He was the king and became, the Bible says he humbled himself and became a servant. You know, because he did that for us, we can do the right thing. Because he did that for us, we can give our lives for him and surrender to him. Praise God. And so I just encourage you, meditate and think about what Jesus did for you. I'll tell you, it'll kick self-esteem problems right between the eyes. When you start thinking about what God did for you, there's no worthless people in the kingdom of God. You were worth so much that God sent Jesus for you, that he thought you were worth dying on the cross for. My goodness. The God of the universe thought I was worth it. Amen? Praise God. And I just think that I'm his favorite. Praise the Lord. You want to be his favorite? We can fight for it. Praise the Lord. Not with fists, because there's a lot of people in here that can knock me out. But listen, we'll fight in the spirit. Praise the Lord. But you can have number two spot. I'll take the number one spot. But God loves you. He loves you so much. Well, let's open our Bibles to Mark chapter 4 this morning. Today's the beginning of a series. And I already know it's going to be a little different than last night because I'm starting a little different this morning. But in the spirit on the way over here from Olean, as I was driving over here this morning, I knew to go in just a little bit of a different direction. But we're starting a series today, and we're going to pray in a second, make sure what he wants said gets said. And we're going to start a series today that is so vital to your life. And it really points out that, you know, that statement that I always make, that how your life turns out has more to do with you than God. You know, religion will say that your life depends on God. Well, God's already done everything he needs to. He's already made a way for you. He already provided the best thing he ever could have provided for you. He already gave you Jesus. And I always make that statement that how your life turns out has more to do with you than God. And this series will really emphasize that. And it's going to cause us to look inside. It's going to cause us to examine ourselves. But it's going to cause us to have to make adjustments. But that's a good thing. You know, I remember hearing it this way put, and it's so true. It's not the things that we're doing right that's hurting us. It's the things that we're doing wrong that's hurting us. And so sometimes, you know, the Bible says one of the jobs of a minister is to rebuke and to reprove and to preach the word. And sometimes when you preach the word, it can rebuke you. It can correct you. Man, I've had my toes stepped on more than one time. Praise God. But thank God I did, because I had my toes stepped on financially. I adjusted it and was blessed financially. Had my toes stepped on in my love walk. I adjusted it and I was blessed in my faith. All these different areas that we're missing the mark on, God will help us through the preaching and teaching of the word. So I encourage you to be here. Don't miss a Sunday. Ever miss a Sunday if you can be here. And to just stay faithful and make adjustments when adjustments need to be made. Praise God. And God just trying to take you to a higher level when he does that. You know, the word says that whom the Lord corrects or chastens, he loves. And, you know, the religion will teach you that God corrects you and chastens you through sickness and through poverty. That's not how God does it. God corrects his children through his word all the time. And so let's take the correction. Let's just grow in the things of God. But before we get started, let's pray. Father, we do love you so much today. You're just wonderful to us. Father, I don't know what religion, well, I do know what religion says about you, but I know that it's not true. Father, religion says that you're some far-off thing that we could never experience, that we could never get to, that we're not worthy enough to get to, that we could never come into the presence of. And Father, it's just not so. It's not true. You sent your Son to bridge the gap between God and your creation. And so, Father, we thank you that we have access to you. Father, you said to boldly come to the throne of grace and mercy, that we may obtain and find help in the time of need. So, Father, I thank you you're not mad at us. Father, I thank you you're only good, you're only loving. Your arms are only outstretched towards us all the time. Father, even when we make mistakes, even when we miss it, even when we're not perfect, Father, you're the God of mercy and grace, and we thank you for that. And, Father, the greatest display of your mercy ever was sending us Jesus. We forever know how wonderful you are. And, Father, through him this morning and through the power of your word, help us to preach and teach what you once said. Father, may I speak as the oracles of God, not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but a demonstration of the spirit and power this morning. Father, you know what every single person needs in this service. Father, you know what every single person is going through in this service. Father, speak to their hearts. May I say something that will touch every single person's heart in here, hit the bullseye of what they're going through in their life. And Father, it'll be a sign unto them that you're speaking to them. Father, that you love them and that you're real, and we'll give you the praise. Father, and the glory. It's not the name of a church. It's not the name of a ministry. It's the minister. It's the fact that your word's going forth at the right time in the right season. In Jesus' name. Amen. Mark chapter 4. Praise the Lord. Mark chapter 4. And we're going to start in verse 14. And I'm going to read down through verse 20, kind of give us an overview of what it's saying and where we're going. But just before we go, I think sometimes you ever, I don't know about you, but before I go watch a movie, I don't want to know everything about it, but I like to watch the trailer. And it kind of gives me an idea of what I can expect. It kind of gives me a little bit of an overview. Or sometimes if I don't think you do this very much anymore, but they'd have like Blockbuster Video and you'd read the back of the DVD to find out kind of what it's about. And so I'm just going to, real quick, before I read and get into the contents of what it says, give you an overview. What this is going to be talking about is that the Word of God goes forth. And the Word of God's going forth this morning, and the Word of God goes forth all over, hopefully all over the world. And we know there's a lot of places the Word's not going forth, but in a place like this, we know the Word's going forth. And the Bible here is going to tell you that there's four types of people that hear God's Word. And in these next coming weeks, we're going to take a look at each type of those people. And the Bible calls those people, he likens them to soil, because he calls the Word of God seed. The seed goes forth. And then he likens the four types of people that hear the Word or receive the seed, he likens them to soil. And so you're going to see four types of different soil in this passage that the Word will fall on, or the Word will hit, the seed will fall on. And it'll tell you what kind of harvest or what kind of production you'd get from each of those grounds. And the Bible tells us exactly what each of those grounds look like, what the characteristics of each of those people's lives are. And so over the next few weeks, we're going to take a look in detail at these different kinds of grounds. And there's good ground in these scriptures, and there's bad ground in these scriptures. And bad ground obviously does not produce any fruit. You know, if I'm a farmer and I want to go plant 100 acre of corn, I'm not going out to a 100 acre parking lot and dumping seed all over the hard ground. I'm not going out to some stony place or some place that's not fertile and then doesn't produce. No, I'm going to go to the best field I can find. And we need to make sure that we're good ground, because the Word wants to do amazing things in your life. And we'll talk a little bit about that. But that's the overview of what we're talking about here. And so let's take a look at what the Bible says here. It says in verse 14 of Mark chapter 4, "The sower soweth the Word." And if you don't know, right now I'm the sower. I'm sowing the Word to you. "And these are they by the wayside, where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their heart." That's the first ground. And verse 16 says, these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately they receive it with gladness, but have no root in themselves, and they endure but for a time. Afterward, now this is important, when affliction or persecution arise for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. So the Bible says there's the wayside ground that doesn't produce any fruit. And then the Bible says there's stony ground, and that doesn't produce any fruit, because trials, persecutions, and afflictions arise. Notice why it says, and we'll get into this next week, but it's important to point this out, because this is what people go through, this is where people live. The Bible says that affliction, trials, and persecution arise for one reason. What is it? The word's sake. To try to get the Word of God out of your life. So that's the second ground. It says, and immediately they are offended. And then it says in verse 18, "And these are they which are sown among thorns, the third ground, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things enter in." Boy, isn't that true today in America? The lust of other things enter in and choke the word. My goodness. And it becomes unfruitful. Let me just say this, that we don't have an excuse. We can't say, well, it would have been a whole lot easier in Little House on the Prairie times. You know, the word's still the word. God's still the same. God doesn't change. We need to give heed to the word, even though we have Twitter and Facebook and all this TV and all these things to do. We still have a responsibility to give to the word. And it says, the lust of other things enter and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And then the fourth ground says, these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. Now, this is what I want you to see right off the bat, is that Jesus said when the word goes forth, it falls onto four types of ground. Now, don't be insulted or offended that God's calling you dirt today, okay? That's okay. We want to be good dirt. And that's okay that we're called dirt today. God's not disrespecting us. The pastor's not. But he's liking us to soil. And it's interesting that the Bible says that there's four types of ground that the Word of God falls on, Yet only one of those soils or one of those grounds produces anything. If you look at those, three out of the four didn't produce anything. It said on the wayside that Satan comes and takes it away. It says on the stony ground that trials and persecutions arise and they get offended and the word has no power in their lives. It says on the thorns that the word gets choked and it stops the flow of the word. But it says on the good ground that it produces. And then notice this, that even though that four types of people hear the word and that only three out of the four receive it, or one out of the four receives it and does anything, even within the one out of the four or the 25%, there's a different measure of even what that group will receive it. Do you see that? Yeah. That the one out of four will bring forth fruit, and some of the one out of four will bring forth fruit 30-fold. Some will bring forth fruit 60-fold, and some will bring forth fruit 100-fold. I don't know about you, but I want to be in the 25% of the 100-fold group. Because the more fruit that I bear, the better it is for my life, the better it is for my family's life, the better it is for people that come in contact with me, and not just financially, bring forth fruit spiritually, bring forth fruit health-wise, bring forth fruit in victory and peace and joy in all these things. And so it's amazing, I find it amazing, that the Bible says that all four of these grounds, every single one of them heard the same word. The word went forth. The same word went forth. And you know what that tells me? That it's not up to, sorry, Vinny, I'm going to spit on you. That's not up to, I better back up a little bit. Sometimes that happens. Maybe we'll just go like this a little bit. Then I think I'm farther back than I am. But anyways, 1/4 of those, that when the word goes forth, the same word goes forth, and only one out of four get anything. And now, this tells me we know God doesn't change. We know God's not a respecter of persons, the Bible says. What do I mean by that? God doesn't love me more because I'm a pastor. God doesn't love me more because I can tie a tie real pretty and have reverend in front of my name. God doesn't love Billy Graham more because he's won millions to Jesus. God loves you just as much as Billy Graham. God wants to move in your life just as much as Billy Graham, just as much as your pastor's life, just as much as any TV minister's life. You can have as much God as you want. Isn't that awesome? There's no favorites in the kingdom of God is what I'm trying to say. There's no different levels of, well, you can't receive all that God has for you because you're not a minister. Hogwash. If you want more of God, you can have more of God than your pastor ever has. It's up to you. So the Bible says that the word falls on ground and that the word only produces in 1/4 of the ground. It's not the word's problem that's not producing. It's that ground. It's what decision do you want to make? What ground do you want to be going forward? It's up to you whether you produce any fruit or not. It's not up to God. We know the word's powerful. We know the word works. Hallelujah. And we'll look at some of that in a second. And so another interesting point to look at from this is that Jesus said that when the word goes forth, 75% of people will not get anything out of it. Isn't that amazing? That, you know why that's amazing? You know why that's helpful for me? Pastor Nancy Dufresne was in Fredonia Church years ago. And the Spirit of God woke her up in the middle of the night, and she just knew to start writing. And she started writing things down. Well, the Spirit of God was talking to her about what true fruit is. And that in our day and age, in America, people think that the successful churches or the churches that are thriving are the ones with the most people. And that's the way people naturally think of. And you see churches with thousands and thousands of people, and people instantly think, God must be doing something there. And the Spirit of God told her, that it's not based on quantity, it's based on quality. That you could have a small, well, we are a small country church. You could have a small country church of 50 that is more spiritually healthy, that is more spiritually strong than a church of 20 to 30,000 people. And it all, but you can have a 20 to 30,000 person church that's blessed. But sometimes you find that the bigger ones get bigger for a reason, and I'll show you that. But it's interesting that the Bible says that the word can be preached, and only 25% of people are living it, doing it, and benefiting from it. You know what that tells me? That the majority isn't always the right way. Don't we sometimes get in the idea of going with the majority? And you know, even in a situation like the Olean Church and in the South Dayton, you know, this town is only a town of 600 people. You know, and actually percentage-wise, if you want to get into the numbers game, we're actually percentage-wise for the town we're in, have more people than any of the family churches, more than Jamestown, more than Fredonia, more than the Warren Church. So if you want to get into the numbers game, we're doing pretty good, actually. But we're not getting into the numbers. Who cares about numbers? But we have a little small country church, and The word's going forth in that place. But it's interesting that when you have a church like this, and sometimes don't be misled when you come and you say, man, you know, we only have maybe 50, 60 seats out. Is there anything going on here? Well, how do you know if something's going on here? Is the word going forth? Yeah. Is God speaking to you? Are things happening in your life? Are things changing? Is the pastor sticking with the Bible? Because Jesus said, listen, the majority are not going to be right. The majority are not going to get it. 75%. Isn't it interesting? Jesus said, my success rate is 25%. Isn't that amazing? Now, I encourage you to look at this because it'll be a blessing to you. Because I definitely have, it's a blessing to me to read this and to meditate on this. And anyways, Pastor Nancy Dufresne, I'm getting along with why it's a blessing. She came out with a series called the Fredonia Revelation. Because it helped so much, because so many times pastors and people are going after numbers. Do you know that this church, and I'm not exaggerating, my wife would vouch for this, certain people in this church would vouch for this, this church will be triple the size if I didn't teach the Word of God. People have left because I teach on tithing, and they've told me. I'm sick of hearing it. People have left because they don't want to hear about the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and people have left because they're tired of the faith message, because the faith message brings persecution, because the devil hates it, because faith defeats the devil. I can list you 20 to 30 people who were faithful for at least a year who left simply because of the Word of God. And that's the reason they left, is because I don't want to hear this anymore in the Word of God. And so, anyways, and that makes me feel good when I read a story like this. But if you study, we won't turn there. But if you look in John chapter 6, I encourage you to do this sometime. Don't do it right now for time's sake. But John chapter 6, Jesus was preaching a sermon. And his 12 disciples were there. But Jesus had more than 12 disciples. The 12 disciples were the apostles of the Lamb. They were the main ones that were with Christ. But there were many other people that hooked up with Jesus, that followed Jesus, that got taught from Jesus and learned the ways and followed his ministry. Well, he taught a sermon there in John 6. And the people had a hard time receiving that word. Now, Jesus was never wrong. Jesus was never teaching false doctrine. Jesus never got into error, excess. Jesus always stayed in line with the Word of God, didn't he? And in John 6, you see him teaching a sermon. And he teaches a sermon, and it says, after that sermon, that many of the disciples that followed him went with him no more. Here Jesus is preaching the Word, the life-changing Word of God. He's right. He knows he's got the answer. He knows he's got the help for these people. He's preaching a sermon, and it says many people left. Jesus' church decreased like that. And he said it, he looked and turned to his 12. So it says that his church pretty much dropped to 12. And he turned to his 12. Now, this is what he didn't do, but if he was a New Age preacher, and you're not going to have to worry about Pastor Mike being a New Age preacher. Just so you know, I'm going to stick to the Bible no matter what. I don't care what wind of doctrine comes blowing in. I don't care what people think they want to hear or what fluffs people up. I'm going to stick with the Bible every single time because it works. And you need to hear what the Bible says. But anyways, Jesus preaches a sermon, just like Pastor Mike's preached a sermon before. It's in the Word of God, clearly in the Bible. Ticks people off and they leave. He said, many of them followed him no more. And he turned to his 12 disciples and he went, oh, boys, don't you leave. Stay, stay. Man, you are getting bigger. You've been working out. Holy cow. And anyways, and so where was I now? He's been helping me. I want my arms to feel like that. And so he's begging them to stay. Oh, what are people going to think? I now have the smallest church in town. Oh, you know, we were filled. We were packed to the brim. Now we don't, all the seats are empty. No, that's not what Jesus said. When people left him, you know what he did? He turned to his disciples and he said, you going next? What about you? Where are you going? You going to leave too? He didn't care. He said, you want to go too? Listen, truth never makes excuses for itself. When you're preaching truth and you're preaching righteousness, you don't change the message. Listen, my job isn't to please you. My job isn't to tickle your ears. My job is to help you. The truth will help you. The Word of God will help you. And Peter was smart, wasn't he? Now, he did a lot of stupid things and said a lot of stupid things, but this time he hit the nail on the head. He looked at Jesus and said, Lord, where would we go? And I love that attitude. When people know, when they're getting the Word and they're getting fed and they're getting blessed, where would we go? He had a value. He placed an emphasis on the Word of God and said, and he it might have been tough for Peter to hear. It might have been hard for Peter, and it might have been things that the Word brought him into that caused challenges, but he knew that he knew this was truth and this was blessing. And Jesus didn't chase him down. He said, if you want to go, you go too. Well, praise God. What's that tell me? Is that Jesus himself chased people away because of the Word. That Jesus himself lost the majority because the majority of people in the parable of the sower tell us that 75% of people will not do the Word of God. You know, I've proven this before. We used to lead a youth group, Courtney and I, at the Jamestown Church. And one time I preached on, you know, I wasn't their pastor. Pastor Tim Stallman was. I was just the youth group leader. And a good youth group leader will always lead the kids to their pastor. He will never try to take the glory. He'll never try to be like, I'm your main. No, point them to the pastor because they're not always going to be in youth group, but they're going to always need a pastor. And so you point them to that way and you direct them that way and you don't try to be the star. And you always kind of, it's like John the Baptist. He said, I must decrease so Jesus can increase, right? The good youth leader will do that. I don't know why I'm saying that. Maybe we got some future youth leaders in here, but that's what you always want to do is point them to their spiritual feeding. And I was teaching on the office of the pastor one night in the youth group, teaching them about the gift that's on the pastor's life and the blessing that it'll be to them. And then I even went into detail about honoring the pastor. And I don't teach a whole lot about that because it can seem like it's self-serving. But when I'm teaching other congregations or other people, it's not self-serving because they're not under me. So I taught them what the Word said about honoring their pastor, showed them the blessings it would bring their life. And I said, now, okay, you've heard the Word of God. You've seen that God has given you such a precious gift in your life. You see that the Bible says to honor it in certain ways we can honor it. I said, let's do something for Pastor Tim. I said, if you want to bring something like from your allowance, birthday money, financially, wonderful, you'll be blessed for that. But let's all at least write him a thank you card. And let's do something for him and encourage him and say, you know, Pastor Tim, we're so excited. I mean, people don't understand what the pastor does. He gives his life for people. Like, I spend my life praying for you and reading the Bible to hear a message from heaven for you. And a lot of times people don't understand that. And I said, Pastor Tim gets a lot of bad things come across his desk. Let's do something blessing. Tell him what he's meant to you. Tell him how your life's changed since you started coming to his church. Let's all do that. Bring it to him this Sunday. If you can't be there this Sunday, bring it to him the next week. So we all did that on our own, and a few weeks went by. Now, I showed him the Word. The Bible says honor. The Bible says do things. So I said, let's do it. And a few weeks went by. I waited until some following Fridays in case some kids weren't there. And I said, now, who is here for the message I preached where we said we were going to do something for Pastor Tim? A bunch of people raised their hands, and the kids that didn't, I said, now you don't count in this. I don't mean a single yell, but you don't count what I'm about to do. I said, for those of you that were, I said, for everybody, but for those of you especially that were in that service, close your eyes right now and bow your heads and don't open your eyes. Now see, we did so much for those kids and changed so much their kids' lives through the Word of God. They trusted us and they would not ever tell us a lie. They knew better. I mean, we had to get on the kids because they'd treat their youth people better than they would their parents. Like they'd come to service and they'd clean up and do everything. I'd say, why don't you do that for your parents? Honor your parents, glory to God. Don't honor us more than your parents, holy cow. And anyway, so I knew I could get the truth out of them. I said, nobody's looking around. Nobody's trying to embarrass anybody. I'm not mad at you. I just want to prove something out. I said, now raise your hand if you actually went home and did what the Word of God says and did something honorable for your pastor. And I even told you, I laid it out for you. And the hands went up, and I counted, did the percentages, and it came out to be about exactly 25% of the kids actually did the Word. 75% of the kids didn't do the Word. Isn't that amazing? And isn't it amazing, too, that Jesus, the Bible says, when he died on the cross, and when he rose again, before he ascended into heaven and went to sit at the right hand of the Father, the Bible says he appeared to 500 people. Appeared to 500 people, making himself alive so there was no doubting he was there. Well, we know that Jesus doesn't play favorites. And we know that in Acts chapter 1, he commands people to not leave Jerusalem until the Holy Ghost comes, which came in Acts chapter 2. Well, when we get to Acts chapter 2, we find that there's about 120 people that stuck around out of the 500. You know what that percentage is about? 25%. Jesus told about 500 people to go do something, and only about 25% did it. And I'll tell you, it's unfortunate. And I've seen in the years I've been in full-time ministry, it is so true that about 75% of the people that hear the Word don't get a lick out of it. And it's sad because it's not up to me. It's not up to God. It's up to you what kind of soil you want to be. It's up to you what kind of ground you want to be. The Word of God is powerful. The Word of God always works. The Word of God never fails. It's never on God's end. God, as soon as you get the revelation in your head that God's not your problem, oh, you'll be so blessed. He is not your issue. He is your help. He is your answer. He is your comforter. He's your helper. He's your provider. He's your healer. He's your victory. He's your peace. He's not causing trouble. It's all, and I remember I got that revelation. I said, you know what, Lord, you probably know more than me. And I think you're probably smarter than me, so I'm going to start doing it your way. And so you can start being good ground right now. And so that's why we're going to look over these next few weeks as what does the Bible say about being good ground? Because if we're bad ground and we're hindering the blessings from coming in, see, the Word of God is not the problem. And this is what I was saying last night at the beginning of service. One thing that impresses me more and more and more and more and more and more and more. And why, you see, here's how I know where my supply is. God has a supply for everybody. I don't know if you know that or not. The Bible says God has set the members of the body in the church as he pleases. God has a supply for you. He has a pastor for you. He has a place where you can receive the Word of God and hear the Word of God. And I know where my supply is, and so I hold on to that supply. What do I mean by that? I make sure to avail myself to that supply. I make sure to not be taken out from that supply because I need that supply. I recognize I need the Word. And the Bible says that the Word is so powerful. And one thing that is amazing to me that continues to just blow my mind in a good way is how much the Word actually works. And you know, unfortunately, I've had to learn the truth of how the Word works when I've done things the wrong way. I see how real the Word is, that when I didn't do the Word, it didn't work out. But I've seen so many wonderful things of what the Word, about applying the Word in situations. You know that the Bible says that the Word causes health to your flesh. I've had people in service hear the Word of God and get healed without a hand being laid on them, without Jesus appearing, doing anything special or magnificent, just the Word going forth. Proverbs chapter 4, it says, the Word brings health to your flesh. Glory to God. You know, and think about that. The Word has the power to do that. I've told this story before, but it's worth noting to show you the power of the Word because I need to... See, what I'm trying to do is show you that the Bible says you're the ground and you depend on what the harvest is, but you need that Word to cause you to grow. Well, that means you have to avail yourself to the Word. You have to have respect for the Word. The Word has to be priority in your life. The Word can't be something that's just, well, Sunday morning for 40 minutes or maybe once every 3 weeks. See, that's part of the problem is you're not getting watered enough. And the Bible says that the Word is also water and waters that seed that goes in you. And when the Word keeps going forth, it's watering it. Well, if you don't water a plant or a flower, it's going to get scorched. It's going to dry up and wither. And again, this isn't to beat anybody up. Make adjustments in your life and change today. Glory to God. But anyways, the Word is so powerful, and the Word is so wonderful. And making the Word a priority, and there was that lady from Rhema Bible Training Center in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And she worked for Brother Hagin's ministry in the tape and book department. And the Durants were telling this story. I don't know if they told it in our service or if they told it when we were out to eat with them. But Kevin and Annie Durant were ministers that go through the family churches. And they spent time traveling with Kenneth Hagin, who was a Rhema minister. They went back and visited, and there was a lady that was getting ready to retire. I think she was in her 70s. And she had worked for 40 years. She would hear Brother Hagin sermons all day, and she'd put them into book form. She'd put them, make the tapes, make the cassettes, make the mini books, make different things, the monthly letters and stuff, things like that. And they were going there to celebrate with her that she was retiring. They knew her from being on the campus for so long. And I can't remember her name, and let's call her Dorothy because I like that name. That's a pretty name for an older lady, Dorothy. So they said, Dorothy, we're so excited for you. You know, you're retired. And she was just thrilled. And she said, you know, Kevin and Annie, Rhema sure wasted their money on my health insurance policy. They said, oh, yeah, why is that, Dorothy? She said, in 40 years, I have not been to the doctor one time, and I'm in my 70s ready to retire. Now, they knew that she's not a liar, and they can easily check up on that to see if they've used it. And she said, 40 years, I never had to use my health insurance policy. And that even took them aback, and they're ministers who have seen a lot of things. What do you mean, Dorothy? What, Dorothy, I love that. That's a good name. And what do you mean, Dorothy? Maybe, I don't know, I'm partial to Wizard of Oz. Maybe that's why. But anyways, what do you mean you haven't been to the doctor? She said, no. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs 4 that the Word is health to my flesh. She said, for 40 years, for 8 hours a day, Monday through Friday, and then on the weekends hearing the Word of God was constantly before me. constantly hearing it in tape form, constantly hearing it, constantly watching it on video, constantly putting it in book form. She said, the word kept me healthy the whole time. Amen? Now, we might not be able to do that, but we can avail ourselves more than we do. Can we say that? And I've said this before, and I'll say it again. You know, with the word of God, the Bible calls the word spirit food to our spirit. We love to feed our natural bodies all day long, every single day. And then some of us just get a cold snack on Sunday mornings and expect to be sustained, expect to grow. And some of us, again, no condemnation, but some of us don't even get that consistent feeding once a week. And so some of us are getting a cold snack once a month, twice a month, and it's hurting you, and it's causing you to not be able to produce the fruit that God wants for you. Do you see my heart here? It's not to be, if we're trying to embarrass people, we'd point to people and say, what's wrong with you? What are you doing? No, that's not my heart. My heart is for everybody to grow in the garden of God. Hallelujah. And the word will cause you to do that, making it a priority. So the Bible says the word is health to your flesh. You know, when it came to healing the centurion's servant, the Bible said his servant was seriously sick at home. And the servant said, Jesus, just speak the word. Just speak the word and my servant will be healed. The word has healing power. Remember when the storm came out on the sea and Jesus calmed the wind and the waves? By what? The words. Weren't you telling me about that? Was that you on campus? You'd tell me a story. Do you mind if I share it? And on Fredonia, I guess, I don't know if it's always windy there, but this day it was super windy and he had to walk from one class to the next pretty far. And if I butcher the story, I'll just get the most of it right, okay? So praise the Lord. Anyways, the gist of it. And he was telling me how, it was just very uncomfortable walking just constant wind. I mean, it's just not even letting up and hearing cold. And he remembered that Jesus spoke to the wind and said, peace be still. He said, man, Jesus can speak to the storm. I can speak to the storm. And what'd you do? You just said pretty much stop, right? And what happened? It stopped, didn't it? And he's like, whoa, this works. Praise the Lord. The word is powerful. The word is powerful. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, the Bible says that desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. The word causes you to grow. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. The Bible says that the word is a lamp and a light unto our feet. The word is our direction. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, I could tell you story after story about my life concerning the word and being good ground. And you all know my history, at least most of you do. I was severely depressed from a ninth grade boy. It was like when I hit high school, a blanket of depression fell on me. And from the ninth grade until about 2002, every single day, I kid you not, every single day, I was bombarded with the thought of wanting to take my life. It was the only peace that I could think of getting. And I'll tell you, that's a sad place to be. That's a dark place to be, where the only relief you think you're going to get is to end your life. And I was in that depression. And then when God woke me up and I realized I wouldn't kill myself, I sought out other things. I sought out addictions. I had a lot of very bad habits, very bad addictions that controlled me. Had very wrong way of living. I had drug, alcohol addiction. I was severely addicted to gambling. Severely, and my wife will vouch for me. She saw some of the times where I'd drive in snowstorms to the casino and spend all my money, lose all my money at the table in 5 minutes and go to the machine and take out all the money that I had and lose it all and not have a way home. She saw it. She knows. I was addicted, living wrong, severely depressed. But the word of God came into my life. And the word, the things that could not break off me before, and the things that are so strong in your life, the addictions, the fear, the worry, the depression, the habits, the things that you have, the word of God, if you'll avail yourself to it, will shatter those things, will destroy those things. The anointing breaks the yoke. Glory to God. And it works. It works. That's why a lot of my family thinks I'm a fraud. Because I went from that to living free. How can that be? You must be a faker. No, the word is real. Hallelujah. The word is powerful. Glory to God. I know of a woman at the Jamestown Church. She came to the church when I was associate pastor. And it was a miracle to even get her through the doors because she was so severely depressed. A lot of mental issues where she was so fearful. She would sit in her garage hours a day, just sitting there in a frozen position, staring out the one window of the garage, afraid to move, afraid to do anything, just fear and demonic oppression on her life. Well, it was a miracle somebody got her into church. Well, when she left, we gave her a huge stack of archive CDs from Pastor Tim and some of the few ones that I preached when I would fill in for him. And we told her, we said, okay, we know what's going on, but when you sit in that garage, can you do us a favor? Can you put a CD player next to you and just put these in? And when one ends, put another one in. Can you do that? Is that enough or is that too hard for you to do? And she said, no, I'll do that. And she did that. And within months, just absolutely a whole different person. Her marriage was a wreck. Her marriage is now on fire. She's serving in the church. She's vibrant and full of life. And it only became because of the Word of God. We've heard stories of people in the hospitals, and you just play the Word of God for them constantly, and it brings health. People going through financial things, playing the Word of God over and over again, and God bringing blessing to them. The Word is powerful. The Bible says in Hebrews, and we'll pull this one up if it's still working. Sometimes our computer shuts off. But Hebrews 4 and verse 12, I want to show you this. Because if I can get you to avail yourself to the Word, because you notice that in the parable of the sower, they were all people that heard the word. Even the ones that were bad ground, at least they put themselves in a position to hear it. Some people don't even put themselves in a position to hear it, and then they can't even get any help. So if I can get you excited about what the word can do for you, listen, the word will change your finances. Yeah. I started applying the word to my finances, and I've never been without money since I've started to do it. The word can be applied to your body. And dramatic and miraculous things can happen to your body. The word can be applied to your mind. The word can be applied to your situations, your relationships. The word can be applied to your business. The word can be applied to your kids. And the word never fails. Never fails. That's why I tell parents, start speaking the word over your kid. I don't care if they're acting like the devil. I don't care if they look like the devil incarnate. Speak the word over them. Call them what they're going to be. I don't care if your finances look like hell on earth, like you look like you're the poorest hobo in town. Speak the word to your finances. I don't care if your body's as sick as it's ever been, and you can't even feel like you can move, and you look in the mirror and you just see sickness and disease and not healthy. Just start speaking the word to that thing. It'll change. It'll bring life to it. Glory to God. I don't care if your mind, you're laden with fear, laden with depression. Start speaking the word over those situations. The word will not fail. It never fails. It has a 0% failure rate and 100% success rate. It never doesn't work. The word never doesn't work. Hallelujah. Praise God is right. Hebrews 4 and verse 12. For the word of God is quick. That means alive and powerful. And now notice this, and sharper than any two-edged sword. You know what a two-edged sword is? It's a natural remedy to something. The Bible, and that jumped out at me one day, it was years ago when I was reading this, that the word, because sometimes we attack problems with the natural remedies. We do. People will go natural routes for relationship problems. They'll go natural routes for financial things. They'll go natural routes for body. And that's a good thing. Listen, I'm not against doctors. I'm not against banks and all that. But sometimes those things don't give us what we need. Sometimes there's no counselor that can help our kids. Sometimes there's no self-help book that can help our minds. Sometimes there's no amount of 5, 6, 7 jobs that's going to fix your finances. Sometimes there's not the right medicine or the right doctor that can figure out your problem. But God has the answer to every single one of those things. And there's nothing too hard for him. And there's nothing impossible for him. And the Bible says that the word is sharper than any two-edged sword. It's better than any medicine. It's better than any financial advice. It's better than any self-help book or any of these things you can get naturally. And again, I'm not against those things. But sometimes those things fall short. But God never does. In the Amplified, it says, the word of God speaks is alive, full of power, making it active, operative, energizing and effective. The word is effective. The word is effective. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. If you go back, Heather, and we're going to tie this thing up here in Mark chapter 4. Praise God. Mark chapter 4. Actually, I'm not going to have you go to a verse. I'm actually going to have you go somewhere else. I'm going to point something out. But I want to remind you in Mark chapter 4 that 100% of people heard the word in this. 75% of them got nothing. How sad is that? How sad is it to come to church where you know that your pastor is going to stick to the Bible? You don't even have to question that. Listen, I got a family. I got kids, and I got finances and things. I'm not going to get into excess and error. It'll cost me. I can't afford it. It'll cost me too much. I would rather see everybody leave the church because they don't believe the Bible, because they don't want the word, than to preach fluff to keep people in the seats. Honestly, I would. I want good ground. When we go to heaven and we represent Family Church of South Dayton or Family Church of Olean, I want Jesus to say, that's a good ground church. That's a church that didn't compromise. That's a church that in the face of the world telling, I mean, there's so many social issues that are 1,000,000% against the Bible that say they didn't compromise. The majority and the popularity said to do this, but they didn't compromise. The world said to cheat. The world said to steal. The world said to do all this, but they stuck with the Word of God. That's the ground I want to be. And I'll give you my word as your pastor. I will preach his word front to the back and never stray from it. Always will stick with God's word. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 1, and we're going to close with this. And then next week, we're going to start looking at all the four different grounds. And we're going to examine our lives. And we might see some things and say, you know what? That ground, I have some characteristics of that ground. Well, that's when you do a little tune-up and you make adjustments. God's not hitting you with a baseball bat in your rear end. God's just tapping you along a little bit, patting you on the butt, saying, come on, pick it up. Pick up the slack. Change this. Change that. He loves you. He's merciful. Hallelujah. You know how I know he's merciful? Because I've had to prove it over and over again by missing it and failing and taking wrong steps and doing wrong things and missing God and not following the Spirit and having him still love me back into his arms every single time. Never having him say to me, I'm so mad at you. You're so bad. There's no hope for you. God is always encouraging. I don't care what any human being has told you. I don't care what your mind has told you. I don't care what the devil has told you. It's not too late for you. You are not the world's worst screw up. It's not too late. You haven't messed up bad enough. No, today's a new day and God's got great things for you. That's the plan of God. That's the plan of God. But anyways, 2 Timothy 4 in verse 1, setting the stage for these next few weeks of looking at what is good ground and making sure that we are that good ground. 2 Timothy 4 in verse 1, the Word. See, you want a church that preaches the Word. You want, because we saw that the Word is what causes growth.
That's right.
And the soil is what can hinder or choke the Word, but the word in itself is what causes the growth. Now look what it says in chapter 4 and verse 1. Now remember, the book of Timothy is Paul writing to a young pastor named Timothy and instructing him in certain ways. And he says, I charge thee. Now when he would say that, Timothy would take heed. He knew Paul was an apostle and a mighty man of God. Paul was like the superstar of preachers. Paul was the man. I mean, he was the one that wrote two-thirds of this New Testament. He was the one that had all the revelations. He said, no man taught me what I learned, but I learned it from Jesus Christ himself. He didn't go to Bible school. He went to the church of Jesus Christ himself face to face. I'm going to teach you about righteousness. I'm going to teach you about authority. I'm going to teach you about all these things that he wrote to us in his epistles. So when he says, I charge thee, Timothy would take notice and say, Paul's got something serious to say. He says, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. What's the first thing he says to Timothy? Preach the Word.
Amen.
Not try to fill seats.
Right.
Not have some, I love these churches. Oh, we have this 5-step growth program. You preach the Word, it'll grow.
Yeah.
People will grow if you preach the Word. Now, you might not grow in numbers. I don't care about numbers. I want to make sure you are growing. I don't care about the church and the seats growing. I want you to grow. I don't care if the walls go out. I want to grow who's in here right now spiritually. He says, preach the Word. Woo, glory to God. Don't back off the Word.
Amen.
Preach the Word. Be instant, in season and out of season. Reprove and rebuke. Sometimes you have to rebuke. Exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Paul says this, for the time will come. And I'll tell you, ladies and gentlemen, we are living in that time. And you'll see after I say this what I'm talking about. For the time will come when they, who's they, the people you're preaching the word to, will not endure or be able to handle or want sound doctrine. What's sound doctrine? The word is sound doctrine. It says, but after their own lusts shall heap to themselves teachers, having, they'll start piling up a bunch of people. You know, it's like this. Caleb's starting to do this. It's great. I'll tell him no. He said, but mommy said I could. If dad and mommy says, oh no, I didn't. And what's he do? And then if grandma and grandpa, but grandma and grandpa, they come over. The grandma and grandpa said I could, and they get eyes like this big. Like, I didn't tell him he could do that. Why? When you don't hear the answer you like from one person, go to the next. Oh, I've had people do that with me all the time. They don't like the answer I'm giving, but here's the point. If someone's going to preach the Bible to you, the answer will never change. The words on the pages are not going to be different. They're not going to change for you. But the Bible says they'll not endure sound doctrine. But after them own selves, they'll heap to themselves teachers, finding a whole bunch of people to tell them what they want to hear, having itching ears. Doesn't mean they need to put some calamine lotion on their ears. Itching ears means this. In the Greek, it means this, that they're seeking something pleasing or gratifying. Now see, the word, the result of the word will please and gratify you. But sometimes when you hear it, it's not pleasing and gratifying to you. When you hear in the word that the Bible actually demands that you live a holy lifestyle and that what you put in your body matters and how you treat your body, sometimes that's not pleasing to the flesh. Sometimes that'll step right on your toes. I'll tell you, it stepped on the drug addict's toes. It stepped on the alcoholic's toes. It stepped on the promiscuous Mike Anderson's toes. It stepped on all on the gambling toes and things I watch and places I go and things. It stepped on my toes. And you know what? There's a choice you make. Okay, do I want to hear what the word says, which is trying to help me and not hurt me? Or do I want to go somewhere that tells me I can live like the devil? Listen, there are places to tell you can live any way you want to. Do you know the Bible says the wages or the payment of sin is death? It might not mean just death automatically that you're just going to stop dying. But when you walk into wrong and start doing wrong things, the Bible says there is a harvest. And unfortunately, that harvest is death. It could be death in finances. It could be death physically. It could be death in relationships. I mean, the Bible says that. And so when you're trying to preach people into righteousness, you're trying to help them. But people will go, and there's a whole movement out there, and you might not be aware of this, because you don't get to travel to church conferences and be around other pastors and other people's towns and hear what they're going through. There's this message going around called the grace doctrine. Now, is there grace in the Bible? Absolutely. The grace of God is this, is when we miss it, thank God we have a Savior. Thank God we have a merciful Father. But the grace doctrine is not this, I'm going to live however I want because He has to forgive me. Or the new doctrine going around says, you don't have to ask God to forgive you of your sins. He's already forgiven you of everything. Dangerous, dangerous stuff. Because the Bible says, if you confess your faults as a Christian. And so there's these doctrines, but that's pleasing and gratifying to the flesh. It's nice to the flesh that tells you, watch whatever you want. Put in your body whatever you want to. Go wherever you want to. Live however you want to. That's pleasing and gratifying. You know what's pleasing and gratifying to the flesh? Don't tithe. Just give whatever you want to. That's pleasing and gratifying to the flesh, but it won't lead to pleasing and gratifying results for you. Just do whatever you want. And it says in the end days, they will not endure the Bible. People don't like to talk about the baptism of the Holy Ghost and speaking with other tongues because it's uncomfortable to them, because they've never been taught it before. Well, just because you've never been taught it doesn't make something wrong. Don't be a person, if you're not up on something, you're down on it automatically. Don't be that person. Learn it. See it in the Word of God. But it says they'll not endure sound doctrine, but they'll heap to themselves teachers having desiring something pleasing and gratifying. Now, go to verse 4, please. And they shall turn away their ears from truth. Oh, my goodness. The Word has power for you. Turn away their ears from truth and shall be turned unto fables. My goodness. Fables aren't going to help you, but the Word of God is. Amen. Amen. So anyways, we'll close right there. You can close your Bibles. Hallelujah. So I'm going to tell you this from my end. You're going to get the right thing. You know, it matters to get the right thing with what you plant. Sometimes, I look into doing food plots for deer. And sometimes the fields, you have to, you can't do it without some lime, or you can't do it without this, or certain things won't grow. It matters what you put in the soil. It matters what you put in the soil. You can't just put on any old thing and hope that different climates and different things. You have to do what's conducive to the climate. You have to do what's conducive to the ground, and maybe measure acid, all the different things. And I'm looking into it a little bit. I don't know a whole lot about it, but I know it matters what you put in the ground in certain places. So I'll tell you from my end, I promise you're going to get the word. Now from your end, you just got to make sure that you're good soil. You got to make sure, and I encourage you to be here in these next weeks and to look. And if you can't be here, trust me, things come up. I get it. But we have live stream. So you can go back and you can look at it. And look at the Word. And when the Word teaches you, okay, this is what the stony ground looks like. This is what the wayside looks like. This is the characteristics of the thorns. And if you see that in your life, and the Lord's really speaking to your heart, and you feel that unction in the Holy Ghost telling you, poking at you and just helping you, just adjust that. God's trying to cause more growth. God's trying to produce more harvest in your life. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your Word this morning. We are blessed to hear the Word. Father, sometimes I think we might take it for granted. I've been there. But Lord, what a miracle it is that we get to gather this morning to hear your word. Father, we don't take that for granted. Father, we don't look at that as being something light. Father, we don't look at that as being something repetitive. No, we're just so thankful for the Word. So right now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, let's show God we're thankful. Let's thank Him for the Word this morning. Just tell Him thank you for the Word. Just say, even if you're not familiar with saying anything in church, just under your breath, just say thank you for the Word. We ought to show gratitude. We ought to show thankfulness for the Word. You know, when somebody cooks you a wonderful meal, I sure hope you don't get up from that table and not thank the person that provided that wonderful meal. Well, God provided a wonderful meal this morning. Thank you for the Word. You're trying to keep us safe. You're trying to help us, Father. And I thank you, Lord, as we go forward in this message and in these series, Father, I thank you that people's hearts are adjusted, that people make changes, they cultivate that ground to make it good ground. And Father, if we are in any of those bad grounds, Father, and I'm including myself, Father, I am by far the least perfect person there is. I have stuff. I have things I'm working on. And Father, as I preach, as I meditate, as I study this message, Lord, when you prompt me to make corrections, I will. Because I want to produce as much as I can, not only for my life, but for people that depend on it. So Father, I thank you that we're going to all be good ground. Now, the body of Christ might be 25%, but we're not going to be 25% in this church. We're going to strive for 100% in this church, and everybody else can be in the 75%, but we're going for the 100. Father, and we thank you for the Word this morning. If I could ask everybody to bow your heads and close your eyes, please. We're almost done. Take me about 2 minutes. You know, one of the greatest things that God ever did for us is give us the opportunity to go to heaven. Heaven is so wonderful. I mean, it's a place of peace and a place of prosperity and joy and victory. It's a place where nobody's sick. It's a place where nobody's depressed, nobody's hurt. And it's an eternal place. And the Bible says God's offered that to every human being that's ever lived. And God says that it's easy to get there. I don't know what you've been taught. I don't know what religion's taught you. I don't know what your family's taught you or friends have taught you or what you think in your own mind. But the Word says that if you call on the name of the Lord Jesus, you'll be saved. Saved from what? Saved from sin. Saved from eternal death. And to go to heaven with God. But not only that, He'll become your Father here on earth and bless you and take care of you. Now, ask, you say, how do I know if I need that? I've been a great person. You know, I'm in church this morning. I try to do good unto others. How do I know if I've made it into heaven? Well, all those good works will not get you into heaven, because my question to you would be, why would Jesus have needed to come? And also, how would you know if you've done enough? But also, on the other end, let me tell you, all the bad things you've done can't keep you out. All the horrible things you've done cannot keep you out of heaven. Just by accepting Jesus, He's the measuring line for the good and for the bad. He's the way into heaven. He's our roadmap. He's our bridge into the eternal life. So ask yourself this question if you're in this room or if you're listening by live stream. If today were my last day on planet Earth, would I go to heaven? Ask yourself that. Say, how do I know? Well, if you've accepted Jesus, if you've asked Him into your heart, if you believe He died and rose again, if you confessed Him as your Lord and Savior, then you don't need to do it again. You say, well, I had a bad week. Well, then just ask Him to forgive you. Well, I treated this person wrong. Just ask him to forgive you. He's not mad at you. He didn't take away your salvation or your eternity. You just need to ask for forgiveness. So if you're here in this room or you're listening by live stream, and you can honestly say, I don't know if I'd go to heaven. And if you want to receive Jesus today, nobody's looking around. I'm not going to embarrass you. I won't have you come up front. I'm not going to have you stand up or say anything on your own. It'll be between you and God and me. And you want to receive Jesus this morning. And you can say, man, I want to go to heaven. I believe Jesus was on the earth. I believe He died on the cross. And wow, it's that simple. Yes, I want Jesus. With heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody's looking around. If you want to receive Jesus today, would you just raise your hand? Anybody here at all in this service that's never made Jesus the Lord of their life? Doesn't mean you have to become a part of this church. Doesn't mean you have to give any money. Doesn't mean that you have to change where you live, where you work. No, you're just accepting Jesus. Anybody here at all in this service want to receive Jesus? Just slip your hand up. You can put it right back down. Anybody at all? Father, I don't see any hands in this service, but that doesn't mean that there's not anybody that shouldn't have raised their hand, or by live stream, someone might be listening. So if you're listening by live stream, or if you're in here and you didn't raise your hand, but you know you should have, when you get alone with God, just cry out to Him and tell Him, I believe you died for me. I believe you rose again. I ask you to come into my heart. And if you mean that, He will. He'll invade. He'll take up residency in your heart, and your life will begin to change. I just ask that you let us know. Send us an email. Give us a call, come up to me after service and say, you know, I prayed that, but I didn't raise my hand. And I can get you started on the next step with God. He's got so much more for you besides heaven. Father, we thank you for the Word this morning. Thank you for all the blessings that we're going to receive from this series. Thank you for what the Word will do in our lives. We thank you that the Word is powerful and it's working in our lives. Everybody say this after me. Say, the power of God.
The power.
is working in my life.
In
Jesus' name. Amen. Well, have an awesome rest of the weekend, and have a safe trip home. You're dismissed.